The next guest, Matt Staver of the Liberty Council. It was just about a year ago he won that huge case at the U.S. Supreme Court on religious liberty, 9-0. Matt Staver, founder and chairman of the Liberty Council. You can get his free newsletter, lc.org, to sign up for it, lc.org. Matt, welcome back to the broadcast. Thanks for being with us.
Good to be with you, Brandon.
Again, sorry just we're running.
Today, actually, I argued at the U.S. Supreme Court, and we got a 9-0 decision.
Wow.
In this case involving free speech against the city of Boston.
A year ago today, you argued before the Supreme Court.
It was a year ago today, exactly a year, January 18, 2022. We got the decision on May the 2nd, 2022, 9-0. That set up a series of amazing decisions between May the 2nd with our 9-0 decision and the last one of that term that was involving free speech, religious freedom, is the June 27 Coach Kennedy case. They cited our case and overturned a 51-year-old Lemon test, which was a terrible precedent that had been used from 1971 up until last year to censor religious speech, words, expressions, symbols, displays. It was a wrecking ball for over 50 years. And as a result of the case that we won 9-0 against Boston regarding the Christian flag in the public forum, Shirtlift versus City of Boston, that formed the foundation combined with the Coach Kennedy case to overturn that 51-year-old precedent. So
Wow. Huge
decisions came out last year in 2022.
Oh, wow. Again, we appreciate all you do there at lc.org. You put out a newsletter. Again, hope people sign up for his newsletter, lc.org. One, disturbing amendments with global impact. Can you tell us about that with the WHO?
Yeah, the WHO has been meeting the last few days, and they are working on changing amendments to their international regulation, health regulation, IHR. George W. Bush got us into this mess a number of years ago, and in doing so, he bypassed the treaty provision so that you don't have to get this approved by the United States Senate. This is what Joe Biden is wanting to do, is to continue to work on that and just do it on his own. This particular provision, they've got 46 pages of this new amendments that is going to be voted on this coming May, and they are startling. Just a few of these. Number one, it will change the World Health Organization from an advisory body to a legally binding authority on about 196 nations. It will allow them to impose vaccine mandates, tracing and tracking, isolation, quarantine. It will allow them, under the guise of a public health emergency, or any, actually it's even less than a public health emergency, but it's whatever the WHO says it is anyway, so it doesn't make any difference. It would allow the WHO, by a declaration, to really commandeer any nation of those 196 with regards to how they should treat, what they should treat, what kind of medicines you can have. It would allow the WHO to regulate trade and food and commerce and medicine. It would also, one of the proposals is to remove, get this, right now in the IHR, the International Health Regulations for the WHO, they have this language there that the international health regulation should respect the dignity, or respect for dignity, human rights, and fundamental freedoms of people. Now, the proposed amendments strikes out those words. In other words, they are removing respect for dignity, human rights, and fundamental freedoms of people. They are replacing it with equity, terms like equity. So the WHO would use critical race theory and equity, which is not the same as equality, as you well know. And it would then allow the WHO to take from nations like the United States based on race or ethnicity and to discriminate against the United States in favor of some other nation that it wants to favor based on critical race theory. It goes beyond medical and pandemics and COVID-19 because a public health emergency can be whether you have enough access to kill your unborn baby via abortion. And if you don't, they can impose trade and sanctions against you. And it also includes what's what they would call, quote, climate change. So if they feel that the United States needs to transition over to EV vehicles by a certain date, they will impose that. And so this will have an incredibly broad implication. Joe Biden is rushing as fast as he can to try to get this passed this coming May. He's supporting it. He supported it last year. Fortunately, we were able to stop it last year, but they continued to plan. He was part of the G20, the Bali Leaders Declaration. Those nations signed on, including the United States, to the global vaccine passport, giving the WHO ultimate authority over that global vaccine digital health passport. They signed on. That already represents 66% of the population based upon the nations that signed on the G20 summit at the end of last year.
Wow.
So this is what they're doing. They're building this crescendo, moving to May, and all they need is a majority of those nations to move from a recommendation agency to a binding global one world government authority. And Biden is pushing it, and he's pushing it to try to get around the treaty so that it doesn't have to go through the Senate. And unfortunately, this is what George W. Bush did. He got us into this mess. And he was a globalist anyway. And so he wanted to give more authority to the WHO. And so he organized this, got the United States into the international health regulations. And he interpreted it not as a treaty, but as a, quote, agreement, which only he is required to approve, not the Senate. Now, that's debatable, but that's what Biden is trying to do.
Wow.
Following George W. Bush's steps, but really go far beyond anything we've ever done, and that is cede incredible authority to the one world government under the directorship of the Director General.
You know, you said so much there, so important. I know you're so busy with all you've got going on. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but the White House on January 10th of this year, as well as did Justin Trudeau's office, put this out. This is the Declaration of North America, something that Phyllis Schlafly and myself and others have been warning about. Of course, she's now passed away, but warning about for years and years and years. And you mentioned George W. Bush. George H. got us into a lot of this stuff with the Agenda 21, Agenda 2030. And then George W. was really busy working on a North American Union. And I played on my show today. I just showed the audience that while ago. If you go to worldviewreport.com, right here at worldviewreport.com, you can click on this link here, and you can listen to this one-hour show. And in there, I play a clip of Larry King interviewing then former Mexican President Vicente Fox, who was negotiating with George W. Bush, with the leader of Canada, for a North American Union. And he says so in the clip I played today. And yet, yes, it was like a North American Union. And Larry King says, are we headed to like a North American Union and a euro? And he doesn't deny it. Vicente Fox says, that's down the line. That's down the line. It's going to be trading partnerships first. That's down the line. And yet what's so interesting is everything you just described about the WHO and these amendments is the same thing we're reading in this right here, this Declaration of America on the website of both the Canadian Prime Minister and the President of America. The same language, the same absolute language. But of course, you realize, and we do, that the UN, of course, is behind the WHO, and the UN is behind this idea of dividing the world into 10 regions. I've got a map of the UN. I've got a map of the UN where they've divided the world into 10 regions already. So did, of course, the Club of Rome, the European Union Commission. And I'm thinking, what you're saying with the WHO in this pandemic treaty and empowering the WHO, thus empowering the UN and undermining our sovereignty, it is not one piece of peace out here by itself. It's part of a bigger puzzle. And you look at this Declaration of a North America and their call for a North America Parliament, a North American court, North American laws that they say, Pasteur, one of the guys in charge of it, said it would be over the Supreme Court. I mean, these are all fitting together, aren't they, Matt?
They really are. And they're coming from different angles. So this is an incredible overreach and a threat to our sovereignty. Recently, when Biden was on the southern border, he made comments like, we're one country between Mexico, the United States, and Canada. Well, we are North America, but he was looking at it as one country. And, you know, this declaration that he entered into with Trudeau in Canada is just another brick in the wall that he's trying to build, a completely different wall than what should be built on the southern border, but a wall that would literally fence in our freedom. You know, the fact is, he has had very little success with his mandates. I mean, he's hurt a lot of people, but in the courts, once the courts were able to process and have enough time to take into consideration these mandates, whether it's in the private sector, the employment sector, or in the military sector, he has failed miserably. And so, you know, he doesn't want to have that happen. He wants to bypass the courts, thus bypass the Constitution, and obviously bypass the people. He is moving toward a one world government, and literally 2023 is a very critical year. And in part because he sees that his clock is ticking and the hourglass is growing thin. He's now in his second year. He's got 2 years. The last year is going to be clearly a lame duck. And frankly, he's already wounded, if you will, by the takeover of the Republicans in the U.S. House. So he's trying to get around those pesky Congress and pesky Constitution and the irritable courts that have interfered with his plan and give authority to an international body that has legal immunity. So when the WHO says that you have to wear a mask or you can't have ivermectin or you've got to have these shots or you have to show your global passport for digital, whatever vaccine is the vaccine of choice at that moment, or whatever, however many it may be, it could be a whole list of them, whatever it may be. Whenever the WHO says so, that will impose sanctions. So take us back, you know, for example, to August, September of 2020, when Florida, as an example, opened up the schools. You know, the educational bureaucrats, they went nuts. They said, we're going to kill all the children. That didn't happen. Florida excelled. Well, if the WHO didn't like Florida doing that, the WHO could come in and sanction Florida. And if the governor doesn't respond, which he would in this case not, it would sanction the United States of America. And unless you think, you know, some of the people think that, well, they don't have the authority. Well, because of some of those trade agreements, remember, we used to have country of origin labels on meat packaging. So we could say this was beef in the USA, you know, and we could choose beef that was in the USA versus beef that came out of Canada or, for example, Mexico particularly. Well, there was a lawsuit under NAFTA, and guess who won? It was not the United States. We lost that lawsuit because of NAFTA, and we had to change our meat packaging because of this agreement of NAFTA. And so this binding authority is incredibly disturbing, and consequently, we need to have the members of the U.S. House investigate, subpoena, and defund the WHO. There's already a bill right now that's been introduced to defund the WHO and take the money we would give to the WHO and give it over to building the wall. Now, that's going to become a very, very important issue when we come up for the renewal of the budget for 2024 at the end of this year. It's going to be a big fight, but some of these battles need to be prepared between now and then. And we also need to make sure the people in the Senate know this and that they protest to high heaven that they should not be bypassed, that Biden should not and dare not try to put the United States under the jurisdiction of the WHO.
Absolutely not. Folks, there's so much we don't have time to get to. Like, the battle isn't over with the Department of Defense shot mandate that Matt's been fighting. There's so much. Folks, you've got to register for his newsletter. Just go to lc.org and you can get it and find out about these things. But you want to mention real quick the fight on the DOD mandate?
Yeah, the DOD mandate, of course, January 10, the mandate has been rescinded, but that doesn't mean that it's over yet. We're still working on those that have been obviously reprimanded, abused. And some of those individuals, like commanders, for example, we know that the Department of Defense under Biden has already considered the very fact that they applied for a religious accommodation request, which is their right under the law, that is insubordination, that undermines good order and discipline and unit cohesion. And consequently, that will be a major mark against their career. You know, once that's in their file, they're not going to advance. So we want to make sure that not only this mandate is gone forever, not just through this 2023 budget cycle and comes back. We want to make sure it's gone forever. We want to also make sure that those that have been pushed out have the opportunity to be compensated and come back in. And those that are still in that have faced this abuse, that it goes back to what we call the status quo ante, the way it was before, so that everything is erased and we have a clean slate for them. We don't want to, we can't trust the Biden administration to do anything right. It's been lawless. It's been abusive against these service members. So the battle is far from over. We've got a trial coming up at the end of February, and we're continuing to prepare in preparation for that trial with regards to the United States Marines.
Excellent. Well, we're glad you're out there, and thank you so much for all you're doing for our faith and freedoms, Matt.
Thank you, Brandon. Good to be with you.
You too. Matt Staver checking in. Check out his website, lc.org, and you can sign up for his newsletter like I have and keep up on these critical issues. Again, my mailbox gets his newsletter, and that's how I know about these things, and that's when I know it's time to get Matt back on the show and talk about some of these very important issues. And we didn't get to all of them tonight. There's a lot more important ones we didn't have time to get to, but they are in his newsletter and on his website, lc.org, lc.org. Matt Staver, we sure appreciate him, the Liberty Council.